Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Coming off the album, The Boy Who Knew Too Much brings us Mika with Rain on Joy 94.9, the Vic Police Glow Show, up next.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
We do this every week on a Wednesday, 12 o'clock. Welcome again. Give it up for Paul Anthony with you, and also Electra Wellens, and also Gabby Tyack. I'm having one of those days today. And of course it was Brandon. I didn't forget his name.
Of course it was Brandon.
I've just got so many names to give out. And also joining us today from the Operations Response Unit, maybe he should come and respond to me because I don't know what I'm talking about today, is Senior Constable Gerard De Leon. Thank you and welcome.
G'day. Thank you very much.
Electra, Gabby, what's on for the show today?
Well, we've got our usual Vic Police news, of course, coming up, and we've got a very special day today, which we'll talk about, White Balloon Day. Also, we have a crime, actually. We've got some... this one's a little bit different. Thank you. Wow, you've been...
a bit slow.
Pick up there. We actually have some further information that's coming, and Gabby will get to talk about that as well.
And ooh, information that we got through Crime Stoppers. So it highlights the importance of people calling in Crime Stoppers, any information they have.
If you've never heard the Vic Police Glow Show before, basically it's a relationship between the GLBTIQ community and the Victoria Police. And we're trying to build and strengthen those relationships, which encourage you to report homophobic crime and not sort of stay back in, I guess, well, not the closet, but, you know, like come forward. And just because you're gay doesn't mean you can't report things. Because 10 years ago, the coppers were pretty bad, weren't they?
No, Paul.
Some were. No?
Well, I think in history...
I'm talking about the relationship.
Oh, the relationship was pretty poor.
Not talking about the copper themselves, Gab.
Thank you very much. For 3 years, we've been on air pretty much every week.
Wow.
And, you know, we're trying to strengthen the relationship between the GLBTIQ community and police, and that's the whole reason for the show.
That's right. I'm glad you said that. Maybe I should just got you to say it.
Maybe. And it's not just homophobic crime. It's also family violence within same-sex relationships, as well. It's very important to report those crimes and activities and what you're going through as well.
Yes. Some people are of the opinion that they can't report something because they are gay, or they don't want people to find out that they are gay. But there are police within the Victoria Police, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, which is what you guys are. And also it's a relationship with Crime Stoppers Victoria, the Anti-Violence Project, and Joy 94.9.
And the community, of course.
Well, that's right. It's their relationship. Yeah. Shall we go straight on to Vic Police News?
Yes, we will. We've got a great relationship with Crime Stoppers. They're a partner of ours in this show. And I've got something that highlighted what you can do, how you can help solve crimes. Now, Homicide Squad detectives believe a call to Crime Stoppers last Thursday evening is the breakthrough they have been waiting for in their investigation into the death of Sally Brooks. Do you remember that crime, Paul?
Now, was this this was quite recent, wasn't it?
Well, Miss Brooks passed away in hospital on the 11th of July, 10 days after being found inside her Limassol Court home with life-threatening injuries on the 1st of July.
Ah, okay, yes.
So investigators believe Ms. Brooks was brutally assaulted in a home on the day she was found, sometime between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Homicide Squad Detective Inspector John Potter said that this is the breakthrough police have been waiting for. He said, "We received a call last night," now this was actually last week when he said this, "from a person who stated they had information a man was seen on the morning of the attack in the vicinity of Mulla Mulla Reserve near Reynolds Road. We believe this information is crucial to our case and that this may lead to the identification of the killer. The man was described as tall, aged in his 40s to 50s, Caucasian in appearance with short, dark brown hair and was wearing dark clothing." So someone has called Crime Stoppers with some information about this person, and we would like them to call Crime Stoppers again because we need a bit more information from them.
Now, they are appealing for the caller to call back. That's because, they don't know who they are when they call, do they?
Exactly.
And if they don't leave any details, they don't record those details, do they?
Not at all.
There's no way of recording those details at all, no.
No, all right. Well, if you were the caller that called Crime Stoppers about that crime, please call back.
Or if you have any other information about that crime, or any other crime for that matter. And Electra's got something else. Gerard, first of all, has another piece of Victoria Police news.
Okay, it's my turn. I got the weapon search operation, which is involving or recurring at the public transport railway system. A large-scale weapon search at Dandenong Railway Station on Friday, which was last Friday, marked the three-week public transport blitz, which was Operation Safe Travel. And as part of Operation Omni, Transit Safety Police set up a walkthrough metal detectors and used handheld wands to conduct random weapon searches throughout the afternoon. So the police have the power under the Control of Weapons Act and declared the station or railway stations as designated area for weapon search. Transit Safety Division Acting Inspector Craig Shiel said the search was about removing knives and other weapons from the public transport system and wider community. So bottom line is, if you were caught with a knife or prohibited weapon without a lawful excuse, you will be fined $1,000.
Yeah, and that's, and as Gerard was actually just discussing, that's a follow-up which we've reported on the show in the last few weeks about the operations that have been going right across the state. So that was the last one of that operation at Dandenong.
But let it be known, just because the operation finished, any police officer within a railway station, if they have a suspect or reason to search someone, or if you're in a designated area, we have the power to search.
One of the reasons to have these blitz, is it more to say, hey, this is what you to expect in the future, or is it to hopefully crack down on a lot of people in a short amount of time?
Well, it's both, yeah. So well said, definitely both. And it just flows on, and through showing and being out there, it's actually education as well, because often enough people will be having a conversation with the police that are running an operation, what's going on here, and you start to educate the public as well. So it's like a three-pronged sort of attack, really, of how we actually treat things. But also, as far as Gerard was saying, that this actually extends, especially with weapons, to licensed premises as well. There's a lot of other overlays, not just on the transit, but yes, we like to go in there and show and hit consistently a number of stations to show that it's not just one area that's being hit, but it's a statewide approach.
Yeah.
Electra has one more thing she'd like to add before we go on to the crimes.
Well, we've got actually, I don't know if anyone realises this, but I'm actually going to rattle off some stats. Did you know that one in five Australian children will be sexually assaulted before their 18th birthday?
Okay.
59,000 children are sexually assaulted in Australia each year. In 95% of the cases, the offender is known to the child and is a relative or a trusted friend. Only 5% of child sexual assault cases are actually stranger danger. So if you didn't know that, I would like to actually raise awareness that it's actually White Balloon Day today, and it's part of National Child Protection Week right across Australia. And if you want more information, please go on to whiteballoonday.com.au, and you can actually send an electronic balloon, you can donate there, you can find a whole pile of other information about how they're trying to, you know, we're encouraging everyone to support for White Balloon Day, including Victoria Police. And in fact, we have further alarming statistics, and I know we don't like to go on to statistics very much, well, for too long anyway, but over the past incidences with Victoria Police and our statistics, we've seen 14.6% increase in the number of family violence incidents reported, as well as significant increase in the number of offenders arising from these incidents. That's a good thing, because I think it actually highlights people actually reporting, and, you know, not to look at it too much as a negative, but unless people reach out and get help, we can't actually intervene. So it really highlights the importance of domestic violence and child abuse, how we really, if you see something, we always say that here on this show, but it actually overlays for everything, absolutely everything in our daily lives.
You're on the Vic Police Glow Show. If you'd like to say hello to us today or ask any questions whatsoever, you can. 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. We can give us a call, 1300 569 949. First set of crimes up next.
Gay radio, online, all the time, joy.org.au. News and interviews. Joy 94.9.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show with Senior Constable Lecter Welland, Senior Constable Gabby Tayak, and Senior Constable Gerard DeLeon. I'm just got coppers all around me today. We are talking about the first set of crimes courtesy of Crime Stoppers Victoria.
We are, and our first one is actually going back a little way. This is actually speaking about is a sexual assault in Bacchus Marsh back in January 2000 to December 2001. Case reference for this is CA5847.
You can just have across to crimestoppers.com.au. You can also call 1-800-333-000 in case of emergency. Always call 000.
And remember,
see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You are on the Vic Police Glow Show. If you want to say hello today, quite simple, 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. Electra Wellens is in, and also Gabby Tayak. And from the Operations Unit, we have Senior Constable Gerard DeLeon. He's sitting here nice and patiently. Joined the Victoria Police in 2005, so really he's just a young'un in the police force. He's worked at the Melbourne East Police Station, Traffic Alcohol Section, Melbourne West Police Station, the Sexual Offence Child Abuse Unit, and is currently at the Operations Response Unit. I haven't asked this question for a very long time. What made you want to join the police force?
Well, I wasn't expecting that one. It's always been in the back of my head. It's a career that I always thought about. You know, it's not just about helping people, but it's also what can we do to help the greater community. And being Asian, as in Filipino, and gay as well, I thought that's sort of a, like, using Electra's words, like using a three-pronged approach in policing. And plus, I was approached by one of the inspectors as well, who had a chat with me, and this is the real answer. Well, not the real answer, one of the answers. They said it's like they're looking for a nice policeman out there who is just not trigger happy or spray happy. They want someone who can actually talk, someone who can actually sort of liaise with the public without getting heated up, you know, someone with a calm demeanor, like apparently myself. So
it's the new approach to policing, isn't it, that we've been doing for probably at least 10 years, maybe even 15 years, where we're looking at not just responding to crime, but trying to prevent crime. And so instead of just focusing on our equipment, we're looking at using our communication skills.
Yes. There you go. And what better person to do it than you, Gerard?
Yeah, it's not showing very, very good right now because I'm nervous because there's a big black thing in front of me, which is the mic. So,
well, I'm glad you weren't talking about me. The Operations Response Unit, what is it?
Operations Response Unit, it's a very brand new arm of the Victoria Police, which was established around March last year. So it's just over a year ago, and it's a response to the bushfire, where what happened with the bushfire is like they just plucked police officers from different areas. So it was an immediate response, but they thought they could improve it by establishing the ORU, the Operations Response Unit. They can grab a whole bunch of police officers and transport them to areas where there's an immediate need for an incident like the bushfire or the floods. Recently, we saw a few police officers who were deployed to the floods immediately, pretty much. And then there's the Queensland, yep.
Yeah, well, we've actually, Queensland floods, so internationally as well, so over to New Zealand as well, there's police officers that went there as well, so we're able to work much more efficiently and quicker than what we previously have. Yes. And there's other functions because of that too.
Yeah, and so apart from the immediate, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but apart from the immediate response to incidents that's occurring within the second, it's like if it's a quiet, we'll say a quiet day, it's like we perform operations put forward by the different areas like Geelong or Broadmeadows, and perform those usual jobs like traffic operations, or tackle high priority public safety and antisocial behaviors on the weekends like drunkenness and assaults that usually happen, especially in the CBD.
So supplying extra support to other to the police that are already out there for specific reasons, so to target issues that they may be having at a local level, so actually come in and help with that on a day-by-day basis as well.
Okay, so let's get this right. You have to be a part of the operations response unit to be called to one of these responses, or can any police be called?
Initially, it's if it's an it happens straight away, like the floods, it's like we're the first response. Okay. And then if there's another need, we're there for a certain period. And that's when the local units get to call in to I guess, relieve us from that duty.
How long has the operations response unit been going for?
Just since March last year, so just over a year.
So it was in direct response to what occurred with Black Saturday bushfires, with such a huge natural disaster and loss of life and property. You know, we were stretched pretty thin trying to provide extra police. We all have our own areas to work in. If we're taking us away to go there, then we're lacking somewhere else. So they started the operations response unit to ensure that when there was a need for a large number of police, that's where they came from.
So you're basically on call. So you're doing it like your normal job, but you're on call something happens in the morning.
If you look at it as a pool of people that are there together for logistic reasons and human resources as such to help equip Victoria Police and the community in which we serve. So it's basically a pool of people and how the pool of people, what sort of jobs they respond to.
Yeah, like for example, for the Queensland floods, I just got a phone call, I think a day before we got deployed to Queensland. And it's a multi-jurisdictional policing, and Queensland was immediate to help give us the necessary tools like the legislations and who to work with. They paired us up with the local cops over there and perform all these property safety and anti-looting duties. Just to help out.
What's the feeling between the local police, so the Queensland police? Do they like the fact that Victoria's coming up to help them? Do we like the fact that Queensland's coming down to us?
They're very appreciative of whatever help they got.
They can get,
So it wasn't only from Victoria. They also got some cops from New South Wales and South Australia. So, yeah, we're pretty much across the board. Whoever's available to help out, were they.
And I guess it would be exciting and scary, wouldn't it? Because you're off to something huge, but you're not sure what you're going to expect when you get there.
Yeah, the one thing I was really kind of not afraid but conscious of was, like, what powers do I have in order to prevent this crime happening right in front of me?
And you get lots of briefing about that when you arrive as well, about what you can do. So that's part of it. But, it's a very unique place in which Gerard works.
And Gerard, are you aware of any other states within Australia where the police have a similar type of operational response or unit?
My experience, having been to Queensland and worked with the other states, I think we're the only one, but I can be corrected on that, because when I was liaising with the New South Wales and the South Australian ones, they're pretty much from different stations. So where's the ORU is, like, we all know each other, so we know how each other operates. So, I think we're the only one.
So, Gerard, you work in a team. Tell us a little bit more about how you actually do. You work in a bit of a team. You can tell us after the break, perhaps.
We'll do that up next, shall we?
Yeah.
Fantastic. If you want to say hello, 0427-JOY-949 or onair@joy.org.au. We've got next set of crimes up next right here on Joy 94.9.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd.
Joy.org.au.
Well, Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show. We're here every Wednesday, 12 o'clock. And now it's time for our next set of crimes, courtesy of Crime Stoppers Victoria.
A burglary in Melbourne on the 4th of June this year. Get across to the website and have a look. And the reference for this is CA5827.
Yes, crimestoppers.com.au. You can also call 1-800-333-000 in case of an emergency. Always call 000.
And remember, we don't need to know who you are.
Just who they are.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
She said, love you, boy, I love you so. She said, love you, baby, oh, oh, oh. give us a call on 0427 joy949 or on air at joy.org.au. You're on the Vic Police Glow Show with some very special people, one of those being Electro Ellens, who likes purple, Gabby Tayak, who likes frogs, and Senior Constable Gerard De Leon, who likes the Operations Response Unit.
and his iPad.
Yeah, and his iPad that he's brought in here. I feel so technologically advanced, if that's a word, which is not, of course. Now, you've been travelling around the state with various operations. Electra touched on this, but have you been overseas?
Yes, again, for that one. I was one of the lucky ones who got deployed to New Zealand during the earthquake. Once again, there was only, I think, a couple of days, if less, for response to say whether we can go or not. So we just help out with the earthquake, search the buildings, along with the search and rescue teams from different countries. It was kind of stressful, but at the same time, it was a pretty good job for us to be there.
Why was it stressful? What was stressing you out?
The things you see around you, it's like, because personally, when I was off duty and a few years ago, I went to Christchurch and I saw the beauty of it and the homeliness of it all, and then to see it just destroyed, especially the cathedral in the city square. That was really heart-wrenching to see that, having had many good memories. I'm sure it's more heart-wrenching for the locals. The one thing, I guess, if I came out of it, is like being able to help out once again and being seen by the New Zealanders there, the locals, to say thank you. And all I could say is, like, I wish we can do some more.
Do you, this may be a rhetorical question, but do you come back a different person? Because, like, you know, like, we don't have the earthquakes over here like they do in Christchurch and overseas. We don't have the volcanoes and stuff. I mean, we've had the fires, but you're over in New Zealand. Once you leave there and you come back, you're basically home safe, aren't you? But do you come back with any, like, what's the experience like, I guess?
I think when I came back, I was just really appreciative of what I have and realized, like, I shouldn't take anything for granted, especially when we were going through a tremor every day. And the strongest one is, like, I don't know how they get a good night's sleep over there, but when I was on a night shift one night, I was half asleep, getting you know, an extra 10 minutes of sleep before starting shift at 10 o'clock. And I didn't realize, like, the building was shaking until I heard the roar. It was pretty scary. And then the glass, I thought, oh, there's glass in my room. And next thing you know, it's like you just have to run, because you count to 8 seconds, and if it doesn't stop, that's when you run out and see what's going on and hope that it's not going to happen or it's not going to go through. It's just a false alarm thing. So that's one of the things I just become really grateful.
Yeah, so maybe you could tell us a little bit, I mean, because you're so diverse in how you respond to things, what are some of the training that, I guess, as a unit that you might undertake? Because you have to respond to so many different things. What are some of the other things that you do as a unit?
This is not just in regards to New Zealand or...
Just in general. Yeah, just in general.
Just in general, because we are multi kind of policing type people. It's like we have more opportunities to go into training, like... the breath test operator for bus buses, in terms of the public order, is I'm having mental blocks even though I got these technical things in front of me.
Involved in so many different operations, there's a use or an opportunity to do courses, because you need the training to be able to respond. If you're responding to traffic management operation, that you like to have the skills up for those.
Yeah, like crowd control. That's the training I was looking for, crowd control training. For public order, and you got the traffic operations. So we get to do what we call advanced studies, where you learn more about the Road Safety Act and the
road rules.
Yeah. Mobile phones, we target that. A few areas have put in for requests their increasing traffic offences that's happening in the area. So there's plenty of opportunities there.
Gerard, when you go out to whatever the operation is, so when you went to Queensland with the floods and New Zealand with the earthquake, you arrive there, and is what happens is the local police speak to your boss and direct you to do what they need you to do? So everywhere you go, it could be something totally different?
Yeah, pretty much. But overall, it's like as soon as we arrive... get off the plane, go to the general headquarters, is a briefing where they teach us about the legislations, just the very basic stuff, just enough to equip us. And that's how we get the training in those sort of circumstances. Okay. Where it's
Speaking of training, let's have a couple of look at the things you'd have to do. Booze buses, road accidents, earthquakes, floods, riots, and possibly protests as well,
yes.
Particularly when the global people come over and they want to protest against something. That's a lot of training. How long does training take for each incident, or is it covered in one whole session? Does it take a year? Do you have to do it, you know, at night? When do you do it?
Apart from those classroom trainings, like everyone sort of goes through, it's like mainly the experiences we get on the van. It's like my first 4 years at Melbourne West. That's when I got my training for dealing with assaults and public drunkenness and antisocial behaviors, because you learn the legislation in the classrooms and then what sort of powers you got. But it's really on the road, on the van is the expression, is where you get experiences like, all right, you know what your powers you got. You got a drunk person there, he's going off his head. What can I do? What should I do? So pretty much like the whole application thing. So once you're armed with the legislation and your powers, that's how you get the experience.
Okay, so you get taught a step-by-step process.
Yes.
And then you put that into action.
And I guess when these natural disasters happen, no one can predict them.
No.
So you were then trained at that time, like Gerard said, when you go to another country or another state, you're trained in the appropriate legislation and you're told, okay, this is what we need you to do, and you're trained exactly how to respond to that particular need.
Do the laws change much from state to state, or say from Australia to New Zealand? Like what you're used to doing in Victoria, can you not do in New South Wales, or cannot do in New Zealand?
Yeah, the laws are different from each state, and certainly New Zealand.
Unless you actually class as what's known as a special constable, in which that means that you actually, and this happens around most borders or within Australia, where you become a special officer. So you can actually, if someone drives across and over a bridge, that you can actually be acted upon, so that you're a special constable. For that reason, you actually are empowered to actually enforce all the laws in, say, New South Wales. So that's actually a special thing that we actually have.
Mm.
But when Gerard's responding, they're responding under emergency procedures in those sort of things. So it's a different set of circumstances for what they're actually empowered to do.
Okay, we're currently having a chat with Electra Wellens, Gabby Tyack, and our very special guest, Gerard De Leon from the Operations Unit. We've got more coming up next after these messages right here on Joy 94.9.
Great topics, great radio.
Joy 94.9.
The Vic Police Glad Show of Paul Anthony and crew, and we're up to our third lot of crimes courtesy of Crime Stoppers Victoria.
We've got Ali Saeed, who's wanted as well for offences of burglary and theft back in year 2011.
And Lee Jones for criminal damage in Port Melbourne in 2009.
You're on the Vic Police Glow Show. Going to be finding out more about Gerard just after this.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
If you want to say hello to us, you can. It's only about 12 minutes left of the show. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Continuing on with our Inquisition?
I hope it's not Inquisition.
You know, our conversation with Gerard here. Not only are you part of the response unit and a part of all those other things that we've talked about today, but you also hold a GLOW portfolio.
Yay.
Which is a gay and lesbian liaison officer portfolio, which is basically what this show is all about, in the sense. What I'd like to know, though, is how does it work, seeing you're not really based in one particular area?
Yeah, I think that's one of the special jobs that I hold, especially now. I got basically the whole state of Victoria to play with, and sometimes go up to Queensland or New Zealand. It's like when I was in New Zealand, it's one of the things I checked out. It's like, how's the social networking going on over there? But unfortunately, I wasn't able to get in touch with anyone. But yeah. Sorry, what's the question again?
The question is, normally GLOWs have their areas, but because you're sort of all over the place,
yes.
How does that work being a GLOW?
Well, it's given me the opportunity to liaise with the other GLOW officers, and if they, I guess it's a very special role because I get to help them out with whatever they need. And if I get a chance to go, let's say if I knew especially going to be deployed to Mildura, I made my initial research as to what sort of gay communities and social groups they have up there, introduce myself, and Because what's the next GLOW officer next to Mildura? Is there one up there?
In Mildura, no. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. There is. There is a GLOW officer in Mildura. And a lot of those people actually have double jobs. So they'll work as a youth resource officer or a multicultural officer or an Aboriginal liaison officer. And so that's the unique opportunity that Jared has, is actually to liaise with a lot of these other people, because as we know, sexuality is right across a broad range of the community as well.
Yeah, so when I come to, let's say I'm liaise with the Country Awareness Network around the Mildura area, if they have any concerns, I can help them out by finding the closest resource to a GLOW officer around the area. So in that sense, like, that's how it works for me, having the whole state of Victoria to play with.
How do the other police know that you're a gay and lesbian liaison officer?
Usually have this badge on my lanyard, which it's the inverted triangle with the it states I'm looking at it, Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer,
and the little blue and white checkers, the
checkers
police.
which is a police symbol. So that's how they get to know. If they look at me, it's like, yeah, the badge is there. That usually means that I'm a GLOW officer.
And if police see that badge around on your lanyard that you wear all the time, they quite often would ask you what that's about.
Yeah.
Because it stands out. I mean, it's a lovely bright pink or a hot pink on your blue uniform. It stands out.
They're probably wondering, why haven't I got one of those?
Well, they too can get one.
Yes.
If they do the course.
So with everything you're doing, you're a part of the response unit, and what's actually, do you have a normal job in the police, like as a police officer? Like, what's your usual job?
That is his job, the operations response unit.
That is my job. Okay.
Oh, that is your job. There you go. You're on call. Hang on, you have to go in 2 minutes now. So why be a GLOW? What made you interested in becoming a GLOW?
I think it's like when I was in, after a few years since I started, it's like I started thinking it's like how it feels for me as a police officer, being gay, being Asian, altogether. It's kind of a difficult feeling as well without the support network. And that's one of the jobs that we have as police officers, to support the other one who are in the same situation, about the stigma that comes with sexuality, as in being gay, GLBTIQ, whichever you identify with. And at the same time, once again, it's like, as an example, working the watch house or the counter at a station, someone comes up and says, like, oh, I just want to report something. And if they say, you know, something's going on there, because they're not telling you their full information. But when you kind of make them feel comfortable, let's say they say it's like, yeah, it happened in Peel Street in Collingwood. It's like little information, like, I just came out of the Peel and something happened. It's like, I can check any CCTV around that area. So it's just making people feel more comfortable in the GLBTI community to come up to us and say, this is exactly what happened. I got assaulted at a bit, perhaps at a public park in Footscray, wherever. It's like, we need the whole details so we can actually follow up and get more information.
That's one of the issues, isn't it? You might just be young, 18, 19. You might have gone to Collingwood for the very first time and you might have been assaulted. You don't want to tell anybody because you're not out, but that's why you're there. You're there to be told them. You don't care whether they're gay, straight or whatever. You just want to know about the crime.
That's it. Yep. We just want to investigate the matter to the fullest. If we can get a CCTV footage from the club next to the Peel or to the area next to the Peel or wherever area, it's like, we'll try and get that. If there's a CCTV camera in Footscray, as in the streets around that area, I'll go and look at it. And, yeah, prevent any further offences from happening.
Sergeant Scott Davis, who's a big part of the show, who we haven't had on for a while, he always talked about when you don't get all the information, you start going looking in different areas, or I mean, like, it goes somewhere else. But if you get all that information, you can start straight away and perhaps get this person who's done the wrong thing.
The one thing is, like, I don't want to waste time by not doing anything. If you tell me exactly what happened, where it happened, action's going to be taken.
What sort of work have you done with the GLBTIQ community? Assuming you have, of course.
Yeah, I even before I became a GLOW officer when I was at Melbourne West, I attended a few minus 18 activities. So the young ones were pretty happy to see a male police officer who also happened to be gay, you know, having fun with them and breaking that barrier among the kids. So that was really good. And what was the other one? The community at the academy?
Community encounters.
Community encounters, yes, where help out with the trainees as to how to, well, not how to, but it's like letting them know that there's more than one type of person who's going to walk in the watch house or you're going to meet on the street, gay, Asian, whatever background it is. So.
And Gerard, you also went out to Queer Week out at La Trobe.
Yes, recently as a GLOW officer, I was able to go to Queer Week at La Trobe University and also to Pridentity, which is the launch of the new school program, Resexuality.
Yeah. So he's getting very involved. So every time a lecturer or I have anything coming up, we see if Gerard's available because, like we've said, he's based in the city, but he can work all around the state. So no matter where anything's happening, we let him know and he might be able to come along to your event.
Keep this up and you'll be in the paper soon.
I think I already am somewhere.
Just Google.
Well, that was my lead-in. Southern Star article. Is there an article coming out?
Well, it's not Southern Star anymore, is it? It's Star Observer now. But yes, he's on the 1st of September issue, so last week, Gerard had his first GLOW article in the paper.
Two questions for you before we get to some more announcements and then wrap up. You've mentioned that you're gay. You've mentioned that you're of Asian descent. Is there much discrimination from the public because you are Asian? And do other Asians actually prefer to come and talk to you because you are an Asian police officer? Just like if I'm gay and you're a gay and lesbian liaison officer.
Knock on wood, I haven't been discriminated upon by the public, but I did get some looks, especially when I was new, knowing that I was fresh. Comments like, "Oh, he's Asian, good on ya." It's like full uniform, so it's like. But now it's died down because the number of Asian police officers are increasing in the Victoria Police Force, which helps with the diversity. So I think generally the response I get, the community is pretty happy to see a diverse type of police.
And especially for, sorry Gabby, especially for Jared, if he's travelling to a lot of rural areas where they probably never even question that a police officer might be of a different nationality from what they're expecting as well. So Jared has, like I said, a very unique job and a very specialised job in what he actually does.
Victoria Police wants the police force to mirror the community. So we want to have everyone that we have in our community within the Victoria Police. And I believe our first Japanese police officer graduated from the academy last week.
I did.
You're on the Vic Police Glow Show. 2 minutes to go. Electra, what have you got to wrap up with?
Yeah, just a reminder that it is White Balloon Day today and National Child Protection Week from the 4th to the 11th of September, and really highlighting that we really need people to report, and especially from the GLBTI community, in particular around family violence and sexual assault, has to be one of the most underreported crimes in society today. It's one of the most fundamental rights of our society is that we should be able to live safe in our own homes. For many, however, this is not the case, and some of the victims are our most vulnerable citizens. And this really leads into what we were discussing off air about the importance of reporting, in particular with sexual assault, historic cases, that they may be even years ago. We need that information to come through. It may link to other offenders or a particular offender that has been targeting a specific person, and it goes underreported.
Had a conversation with some friends last night, sort of more, well, not an argument, but more of a conversation about after an offence has passed a certain time, you can't report. Now, that may or may not be true in certain cases, but the idea, no matter what the offence is, report it.
Absolutely. We need that information. We can do a lot with that information. The first bare minimum is what we put together is known as an information report. So we can actually put together specific information. They might not be able to identify the offender, but the police can jot that down and then they can run a search over that later on if something else marries up to that offence.
So it doesn't matter if it was 2 years ago, 7 years ago, 20 years ago, report it.
Yes, please report.
Okay, it's really time to go. Senior Constable Electra Wellens, thank you. And Senior Constable Gabby Tyack.
Thanks, Paul.
Welcome. And did I say Senior Constable Electra Wellens? That's written
that's
down.
That's
okay, right.
But it's not welcome. We're actually saying
no,
goodbye, but that's
sorry,
okay.
Sorry, goodbye. Well, it says welcome on here. It's Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens. Who wrote this? You did, Gab. And also very much, very, very big thank you to Senior Constable Gerard De Leon from the Operations Unit. Thanks for coming in. You did quite well.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
All right. If you'd like to say hello to us during the week, you can. It's GLLO@joy.org.au. Got Con coming up next on the afternoon show, followed by, well, just before that, we've got Q&N News. You're on Joy 94.9.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Touching our community right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.